This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
So it's still in Siman Reishmem Beis in the Mishnah Berurah, and we're looking at Sif Katan Beis. That's that little Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page. And that goes on the statement in the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch said at the top that Tzorech Lezarez Atzmo Lechabedes HaShabbos, one has to enthuse oneself to honor the Shabbos. On that, the Mishnah Berurah says Lechabedes HaShabbos. What does it mean? How do you honor the Shabbos? V'tov Lizaher Shelo Yifchos Mishnei Tavshilim. One of the things that's good to be particular about is that you serve not less than two dishes at the table. How many dishes do we normally serve at the table? And honoring the Shabbos is that there are two dishes. And why doesn't it talk about a quantity? Why doesn't it say instead of two dishes, why doesn't it say make sure that you serve a minimum of 1.5 kilograms of food? Why is it Shnei Tavshilim? It's about variety, it's not about quantity. It's about variety. The variety is you mechabit something by variety, you're not mechabit something by quantity. Ah, there's the photostat lady. So says the Mishnah Berurah, V'tov Yizor Shelo Yikus V'Shnei Tavshilim, Gam Tov Sheyochal B'chol Su'udo M'Gimel Su'udo Is Dagim. It's also good to eat fish at each of the meals. Im Lo She'en Nusim Lo Lefi Tzuba O She'sonan, provided you don't have you're not negative about fish, or you don't like it. There's nothing you need to eat on Shabbos that you don't enjoy eating. Other than wine for Kiddush and bread for Moetzi, there's nothing that you have to eat that you don't enjoy. Not if you don't like it. There's no obligation to eat meat if you don't like it, or it doesn't agree with you, or you don't enjoy it. There's no obligation to eat meat under those circumstances. There's an assumption that most people, particularly in poor places, find that a big treat to eat meat occasionally. So in that case, meat on Shabbos was a very big mitzvah. But if one doesn't enjoy it, it doesn't have to be. But fish, there's a Kabbalistic reason why fish. For Shabbos lo enig nitzan v'lo letzar. Shabbos has been given for pleasure and not for suffering. So if meat causes you suffering, or anything that you eat causes you suffering, you have no obligation to. And yours, it's a little different. It started here, so you've already turned over the page. The notion said that the Shabbos lo enig nitzan, end of the third paragraph. Got it? The Shabbos lo enig nitzan v'lo letzar. Shabbos is given for pleasure and not for suffering. Uchid lekam and b'simon reish peches, as is discussed further on. Imochre hadagim miyakrim hashar. If the fish shops start putting up the price because they know everybody wants to buy fish for Shabbos, nochem l'sakin shelo yiknu dagim eze shabosos, then the rabbi should forbid people to eat fish. Ad sheyamid hashar al mekom, until the price comes right again, so that you don't allow exploitation of religious need. If there's a need. So you eat something else. When people take the people's religious needs and exploit that for commercial reasons, be the same with kosher meat. If the price of kosher meat is out of line, then the rabbonim should remove the hefshir. So that's it. Nobody should buy meat. There was a case, I think it was the Gaya River, one of the rabbin, where they were strimals, and their strimals are expensive. But the strimal makers knew that everybody had to buy a strimal, every man, every young man from the time he gets married, and some places younger than that, they wear a strimal, so there's a market irrespective of price. And the price has moved up and up. And the Rebbe went to the strimal makers and he said, I want you to know, unless your prices come down immediately, I'll take my strimal off in public and I'll stop wearing it. And of course, if the Rebbe would stop wearing a strimal, so would everybody else stop wearing it, that would be the end of the market. So that's part of the rabbi's job, is to make sure, while on the other one hand, we're encouraging people to buy certain things for purposes of Torah, on the other hand, we must be careful not to allow that to be exploited.
Sorry, but would that be the job of the
Beit Din?
Now, for the chickens here that are so expensive,
just... Yeah, it would be their job to intervene in that, if there's exploitation. If it's not exploitation, then... If it's not exploitation, if there's a good reason why it's that price, that's one thing, but if it's exploitation, then they do have to get into it. Or it doesn't have to be the reason, it could be the community itself gets together and decides, nobody's buying chicken, let's put a ban on chickens until they bring the prices down. It's not the kind of thing that in South Africa people are very good at doing. Yeah, South Africans are compliant. They don't care what goes on in their backyard as well. They just not to make trouble. That's not to cause ripples. It's crime. There's heavy crime. People are being murdered. They're being murdered. Nobody's cleaning the streets. That's okay. We'll clean it ourselves. Just not to cause ripples. South Africans are very strange creatures. They're very nice. And leaders love them. Because you can manipulate them so easily.
Why
South Africans are so compliant? I think it goes even beyond. I think the apartheid is a part of it, and it's a very paternalistic kind of system, and I think it goes back to the British system they came from, and the Dutch, and the Calvinism. I think it goes really far back into the culture, and I think Africa's a little bit like that altogether. There's not a responsiveness. Responsiveness is not one of the values. And the difficult thing is that a democracy doesn't work if you're not responsive. The whole purpose of the whole way democracy works is people respond. If somebody's not doing their job, people get upset, they vote him out of office, and that's the end of it, and somebody else comes in. Democracy doesn't work with a non-responsive population. And we see here as well, if there's got to be a leveling off, if people are exploiting, then society has to take measures against that exploitation. The Berahetet says that you only institute that civil action against the suppliers if they've increased the price by a third. That the Eliyahu Rabbah and the Prima Gaon say, no, any exploitation, even if it's a small amount, we must react again. Even if it doesn't bother us, even if we can afford that difference, there are poor people who can't, and we have to act on behalf of the poor people too. Oid Kosov Sham, and furthermore he wrote there, the Ein Bezeh Mishum Bitul Bitzvas Oinig. And don't think, oh yeah, now we can't do any Shabbos, we haven't got fish, what are we going to do for Shabbos? So make delicacies from other things. Use cheese and use vegetables and make nice things. It doesn't have to be fish. In Tiknu Leso Lecho Dogim Kama Shabbos Vecho Konami Kodim Buta, if the community made a law not to buy fish so as to bring the price down, and a particular family had fish from previously, they can use it. You can't make a takona that nobody may have fish. You can only make a takona that nobody may buy fish until the stores bring down the price again. Then a little bit further, the Shulchan Aruch also said that if somebody is very poor, and the term usually is Mishe Hashar Dechukalo, if the times are very hard for a person, then they must be. You don't take money even from charity, but rather cut down during the week, but make your Shabbos nice. This is talking about somebody who hasn't even got something that they could offer as security against a loan to buy for Shabbos. The lavach itzurich lilvus kedeshul levat mitzvahs only Shabbos, because if the only way you can afford something nice for Shabbos is by borrowing, then you're allowed to borrow. The commercial of Chazal, b'nai levu alai v'ani pro'ei Hashem, says you can borrow on my behalf and I'll make sure that you pay it back. If you're doing it really for Shabbos, to honor Shabbos, not to honor yourself, but you're doing it to honor Shabbos, then you're allowed to, and you're encouraged to even borrow if necessary. Kedei lechavid haShabbos, could you honor the Shabbos in little number Dalit? The mezonos shel Shabbos v'yom tov, Because when it comes to food for Shabbos and Yom Tov, in Mosif, Mosif in Lo, if you add, if you spend a little bit more on it, Hashem will make that up. You don't lose out of making a nice Shabbos. As Chazal have said, people's income is determined from Rosh Hashanah until Rosh Hashanah. So you should be careful not to overspend, because your income is determined Rosh Hashanah time, and you don't earn more than that. So you should watch your budget. Chutz mehutzei Shabbos v'Yom Tov, with the exception of spending on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it says one of the Talmud Torah, and spending money on your children's study of Torah. She'im mosif, mosif in lo. Anything you lay out for that, Hashem repays. Again, provided you're doing it for the right reason, provided you're really doing it for the honor of Shabbos, and you're not doing it for your own glory. Lovin beribis l'tzoyos through the Shabbos and l'tzudas mitzvah. You're even allowed to pay interest to borrow to make an nice Shabbos. Behind them, mainly you do if you're borrowing from a non-Jew or be Israel, but they're a heter, or you're doing it on a permissible day from a Jewish person. In if somebody sends you a gift for Shabbos, this is quite an interesting thing. Let's say the understanding is that somebody's giving you money, they're giving you food for Shabbos. Either you're a very poor person, and in Los Angeles there's a very wonderful organization called Tzomchei Shabbos, where people give money and they take Shabbos meals around to poor people. Even in a city like Los Angeles, there are hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands, of Jewish people that actually can't afford a Shabbos. And this is a wonderful organization. Volunteers go every Friday and they deliver food for the Shabbos to people. Or you've got a Shabbos guest coming and they bring you something clearly with the intention that they're bringing this to you for Shabbos. You shouldn't eat it on a weekday. But further on, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Sham the ha'oni yochel l'shanes b'mayk b'spurim the mashi yirtze after gazul l'tzorech purim." But with purim money, because we give money for aniyim on purim as well. What's the money for? For their purim suda. What happens if the oni says, "I've actually got purim suda. I'm going out for suda to somebody else. Can I use this money that was given to me for purim for a weekday?" Yes, you can. I think gam sham yesh machmirin b'zeh, although some say not. But for Shabbos, there's no such heter, it would seem. And for Shabbos, if somebody has given you something for Shabbos, it's not covered Shabbos. It's not a question of you not abiding by the intention of the gift. It's just not covered Shabbos. If somebody has given you something in honor of Shabbos, then for you to use it for a weekday is not right. And then there was the law that we learned last week, you remember, about doing the laundry on Thursday. And in Sifkot and Hay, in that little hay, he explains, Haina, that is, Kadei shi yu levonim l'shabbos, so that you should have cleanly laundered clothes on Shabbos. Avaloi be'erev Shabbos, but you shouldn't do the laundry on Friday. Kadei shi yu penuyim l'isasek b'tzorche Shabbos, that you're free to do the other things that you need to do on Shabbos, as preparing the meal, preparing the home. That Friday is not a day for laundry, Thursday is a day for laundry. Some of the poskim say that nowadays with washing machines, it doesn't matter, you can do it on Friday as well, because you don't have to actually physically do the laundry. One thing you see from this is that you shouldn't go with unlaundered clothes, certainly not for more than a week. Because Ezra says you've got clean clothes. So there's certain clothes that we launder every day, but in those days they didn't used to do that. And even then, there's some clothes that we don't launder every day. But for Shabbos you have to go with clean clothes. That's part of the honor of Shabbos. And then we said you should bake challah. And interesting comments on that the Mishnah Berurah has in little vav. Kadei shiur challah. Haynu milvad shehalisho v'ha'afiyah hu b'chlal kovet Shabbos v'yom tzif. That means, quite apart from the fact that kneading and baking is part of Kovet Shabbos, you're honoring the Shabbos by baking bread, commission assigned with the service, as he says at the end. Od yesh b'zeh time, there's another reason too. Kedei l'kayim mitzvah challah. There's a mitzvah to do the mitzvah of challah on Friday. Lefi she'ibdo es odom harishon, because Chava, Eve, destroyed odom harishon on Friday, didn't she? That will happen on Friday. Shehoyo chalosa shel olam. Adam was called the challah of the world. Why was he the challah? because he was the first. The first thing, so he was the challah, and she damaged it on Friday. She did Rabbi Shabbos. So as a takon of that, to try and correct that, that's one of the reasons to take challah on Friday. Hi, Jeff. And you'll see in Achronim that even people who use non-Jewish bread during the weekdays, you just buy general bread from the supermarkets. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should have Jewish bread. Why? Because of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, what does that mean? Why is it more covered Shabbos to have bread that was made by a Jew? No, it doesn't say it has to be made. That would be challah that you actually bake. But even just Jewish bread, it doesn't even say it's made specifically for the mitzvah. It's just saying that if you normally use general bread, which you're allowed to do, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you should try and make a point of using bread that has been baked by a Jewish baker. At least that. It would seem that there is, and I think today there's more and more of a recognition of that, is that a person, through their actions, instills some of their energy into the thing they're acting on. When a thing is made mechanical, that's why I say the Torah can't be done mechanically, it has to be written by hand, by a sofer who has certain intentions in his mind, and he transfers that into the object of the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah isn't holy because of what's written in it. If the Sefer Torah were printed by a printing press, you could throw it in the garbage. It's not what's written on it. It's the fact that there's been a human interaction, that a holy human being has taken his thought and his energy and instilled that, infused that into an object, transfers that holiness into the object itself. And so it is when challah is baked, it's like that with all cooking. The elements of human energy that go in, and love and care that a woman can instill into the food that she cooks, is one of its components. And we've often talked about how to extract more than just the physical calories from food, and that if one is able to extract more than the physical calories, you can be nourished on less quantity. And part of what one can extract from food is the thought and the love and the caring and the intention that is invested in the food by the person cooking it. So if it's just produced by a baker or by baking a mechanistic baker, there's nothing in the food except the flour and the water. There's nothing but the ingredients. That's all you can consume. But if there's been something emotional and human invested in the food, you get that too. When you eat that food, that adds to what the food is. We see that here, that it's Kovod Shabbos, that the food should be made by a Jewish person, putting in some kind of Jewish thought and meaning into the act of the baking, and that's Kovod Shabbos. Beforshatim who honors she'en lo amal lekadesh ki imar pas she'en lo yehudim. But certainly, if you're in a pickle where you've got nothing to eat except bread that has been baked by a non-Jewish baker, and that's all you can have on Shabbos. Like you can find Jewish soldiers who are in an army. Come Shabbos, they've got to make kiddush. They might not even have wine. They've got to make kiddush on bread. The only bread that is available is that bread. You have to look at the love, then you can do it. But look how far it goes. The example is such an extreme example. But anything less than that, you should make an effort either to bake your own bread or at least to get bread that has been baked by a Jewish person. That really takes us to the end of that first Siman Reish Mem Beis, dealing with how we have to start with Shabbos long before Shabbos. So in this case, the starting with Shabbos is Thursday. Once you start doing the laundry for Shabbos, you're already getting into Shabbos mode, and that we do on Thursday. And carrying on with the cooking and the preparation on Friday, all of that is building up for Shabbos. And next time we'll start going on to things. I think we'll probably do Reish Mem Daled, things that a non-Jew may or may not do for a Jew. I'm not sure, because a lot of that is trade stuff. It's not like a Jew or non-Jew in the house. It's actually what work can you give out to a Jew to a non-Jew to do. So we might not even do that. in which case we would probably skip forward. Quite a bit. We would go to Dilim Ashayoch of the Erev Shabbos, probably we would go to, which is Resh Mem Tes, which is setting up the laws for Erev Shabbos. So if we are organizing any further stats for next week, that would be Siman Resh Mem Tet, is what we would, what we'll